Other big headlines you may have missed along the way. I want to make sure you get them. Let's start with this. An appeals court, a federal appeals court in Washington, has issued a stay blocking the release of testimony and redacted material and grand jury information from Special Counsel Bob Mueller's probe. Blocks that release to Democrats who were demanding it. The three-judge panel for the District of Columbia Circuit Court of Appeals granted the stay pending an appeal from the Justice Department and said the ruling should not be construed in any way as a ruling on the merits of that motion. But they have blocked the release, at least for now, of those materials. Grand jury material is supposed to be kept secret, frankly. It comes after U.S. District Judge Beryl Howell ruled Friday that the Democratic-led House Judiciary Committee can have access to the material, giving the Justice Department until today to turn over the redacted portions of the grand jury material sought by the committees. Friday's ruling was a key win for the Democrats, but now it's been blocked. So their key win became a key nothing at all. Mueller found no evidence that Trump conspired with Russia in the 2016 election, of course, and no obstruction of justice either, as you know. The Democrats had demanded the department provide the material, which was redacted from Mueller's report as part of their ongoing impeachment inquiry against Trump. Lawyers arguing that at a hearing earlier this month that House Democrats already had sufficient evidence for Mueller's investigation, including copies of summaries of the FBI 302s, those witness interview reports. Anyhow, so it's been blocked. The judge appointed, I think she is a Barack Obama appointee, keeps granting for the Democrats and is blocked once again from following through on that. Hey, by the way, so with Liz Peek there, we were just talking about the Democrats' field of candidates and what happens. And now it's possible, entirely possible, there could be a brokered convention. And somebody that's not even on your radar right now can end up being the nominee for the Democrats for president of the United States. It's possible because as you look at Elizabeth Warren at 20% and Joe Biden at 18, 20% and Bernie Sanders at 15%, Buttigieg at 10%. You know, you've got enough division there that the electorate could be divided. And let's be honest, when you look at like Bernie supporters, and when you look at Bernie supporters, they're very hardcore. All right? They're hardcore and they're hard to be persuaded elsewhere. The reason being is they know they got the shaft in 2016. They know it was rigged against them in 2016. And so now they're going to stick with their candidate. Will they jump over and support Elizabeth Warren? Maybe. Maybe not. But would they support a moderate candidate like Pete Buttigieg? I don't believe so. I don't believe so. And then there's reports like the one I have in my hand. Michelle Obama, she says that whites are still running away from minorities and immigrants. Michelle Obama, whose name has been bantered about as a possible emergency candidate, I still support Hillary Clinton's candidacy. But she said white Americans are still running elsewhere when minorities and immigrants move into their communities. The former first lady made the remarks at the Obama Foundation Summit at the Illinois Institute of Technology in Chicago. It was a sit-down interview, and she was accompanied by her brother, Craig Robinson, an executive with the NBA's New York Knicks. And she described when she first became conscious of what's been called white flight. "We're doing everything we were supposed to do and better," said Obama of her family, recalling that when they got a new address on Chicago's South Side, but when we moved in, white families moved out. I find that a stretch. Yeah, I'm sure white families moved out because families move. But the inference that white families moved out because the Obama family moved in, I find that hard to believe. I live on a country road in the middle of nowhere. And there are families of all colors on my road. We live in farm fields. Families of all colors. In fact, there's a couple of houses that fly rainbow flags. You know who's moved out because of that? Nobody. And when I see people in the front yard of the house with a rainbow flag, you know what I do when I drive by? I wave. This narrative that somehow you're a white American, you're a racist, you're a homophobe, that is absolute garbage. Garbage. And you know what I when I do when I see people of color that walk down my street, one guy runs all the time. You know what I do when I see him when I'm driving by? I wave. Because that's all fine with us. We don't, and we're an area that voted heavily for Trump. It's a very red hat wearing area. It's a rural Midwestern area. Mostly white, I suppose, but plenty of color to spice it up out there. And plenty of rainbow flags just to add to it. And you know how many of us have moved out because of that? Again, let me go over the number with you. I'll go slowly. None. Nobody's moved. Nobody cares. We have our own things to do. I've got a job to go to, a family to raise, dogs to deal with, and a kitten in the house. Good Lord, there's a kitten in the house. Anyhow, that's a different story for a different day. Yes, I was conned. Against my will. Strongly against my will. At any rate, the fact of the matter is when I see this kind of white flight nonsense, newsflash to Michelle Obama. It's not 1965. It's 2019. And when you continue to play the race card and the homophobe card over and over and over and over, not only is it not true, it's kind of boring and trite, frankly. Find a new trick, if you don't mind. It is 51 after. Coming up, we've got some final thoughts for hour number two, and then a big setup for hour number three, including Ron Rademacher here today. How did we get so lucky? I don't know. It must be living writers. Oh, and Dr. John Lott in hour number three as well. Thank you for reminding me. It's the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. A crucial role of the Michigan Chamber is to listen to our members, gain an understanding of their business challenges, and provide real solutions to help them succeed. For the past 60 years, the Michigan Chamber has delivered powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members who represent over 1 million employees across the state. As a member-driven organization, we keep our members at the center of all we do. We are proud to be the leading voice of business in Michigan. And together, we can make a difference to ensure Michigan is the best place to create jobs and support free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
Scratching on my first school dance takes confidence. So we're getting into college. I've got what it takes. So do you.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn.